Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Little Van Halen bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. Wayne Cruz is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 10 years, coming up on 11 years in September. We'll have him back to celebrate his 11th anniversary as a member of the largest community of small business experts, our Brain Trust. But the thing he's really proud of is his job, because that's the one that pays him some money and gives him a place to go to work, and that's at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. is his organization and their website. He's vice president there and director of technology studies, and more importantly, he's our good friend Wayne Cruz. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. 12 years, you're not making me feel youthful.
Yours is 11 years.
I'm still 11. I'm not a teenager
I'm
yet.
I'm working
right?
on 12. You're working on 11.
Well, it's good to be back with you, and all that news about your grandson is just terrific.
That's well, thanks. Wonderful. Yeah, I was mentioning in the previous segment about my fourth grandson, Ethan Cole, who was just born last night, and it's a great day and mm-hmm. Very exciting. Hey,
indeed.
Listen, let's talk about things. Unfortunately, we do have to talk about things that are not mm-hmm. as cool as babies, and that's. Sometimes, and they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing here, Wayne, sometimes right. the government births a lot of regulations and imposes them on us, and yeah. we don't like those babies, do we?
That's right. You don't, and none of us do. I thought we could talk a little bit about that, about the small business environment. You've had me on a lot of times, Jim, talking about the numbers of regulations coming out of the federal government, not just
yep.
the taxing and spending that the federal government does, but the rules and regulations coming out of OSHA and FDA
yep.
and so on down the line. And I do this report every year called 10,000 Commandments that surveys trends in federal mm-hmm. regulations. And I just put out the new one not that long ago. We might have talked about it briefly on the
you
show.
Do it, you usually do it in May, don't you?
I tend to do it in May. It floats around a little bit. Sometimes we do it right when the federal budget comes out. Other mm-hmm. times I may even wait till the 4th of July, you know, to do it at Independence Day. But basically, yeah, it's a sister document to the federal budget. And if we know now that, you know, Obama had proposed a $3.5 trillion budget, that federal spending budget that's now going to blow up to over $4
trillion. Wow.
The other thing to keep in mind is that the regulatory side, the rules and regulations applied mm-hmm. to the private sector and small business and all, those alone cost over $1 trillion. Kind of like a hidden
the
tax.
Compliance expense. This is essentially a mandated tax, isn't it?
That's right. These are your economic regulatory costs. You know, all the kind of things we see now, the new regulations on banking and finance, and well, you know, some of the things we talk about that haven't even hit yet, like cap and trade and the cost mm-hmm. of that. But mm-hmm. energy efficiency mandates that exist right now. So it's the economic mandates. It's the environmental and health and safety mandates. And then it's the compliance cost of paperwork. It's all imposed on business. Now, I'll just say, and I thought maybe we'd talk about it a little bit, is last year at this time, Jim, you remember the big news was that everybody was going to get a tax rebate check from
right.
the federal government.
Right.
And this was before all of this mm-hmm. downturn in the economy.
Before the meltdown of the fall of 08.
It was before the meltdown. And even back then, I put together a piece on the stimulus notion. Call it still stimulating like it's 1999. You know,
I remember we talked about that. Yeah,
it's kind of the folly, you know, of government spending getting us out of a recession that way, and then of course the meltdown, as you mentioned, occurred, and it's just been horrific with what's occurred in banking bailouts, the auto bailout, the insurance industry bailouts, you know,
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac,
everything is still. To me, none of the solutions that are being proposed actually do anything to actually reinvigorate an economy.
Well, they're classic political reactions, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not solutions.
Well, they reinvigorate the state. They're good if you are, you know, a part of the government sector or a part of the sector that depends on business, mm-hmm. you know, for tax revenue, and or if you can regulate it or something like that. But what we've called for at Competitive Enterprise Institute is a deregulatory stimulus. You know, not more of the spending stimulus like this, but think about things, and I mean hard, think aggressively about things that can jumpstart the economy again by removing controls and mandates on the private sector. Mm-hmm. So, like,
where the growth and the expansion and the jobs are going to come from.
That's right. So, like, in the auto industry, instead of that bailout, why not instead put a freeze on the CAFE standards, the energy efficiency standards?
Yeah, remind people what CAFE is.
That's the corporate average fuel economy standards that are mandates on the industry. They have to spend millions on research.
That's blasphemy to the people who are also trying to push through cap and trade. I mean, that's just crazy talk to them.
But you've still got to lay the groundwork because, you know, a little bit during the break, we're talking about a little, you know, like a backlash. If people reject this cap and trade, if they reject the health care bill, if they're sick of things like an auto bailout, voters are going to want something different. And so you can take each of the Obama proposals, whether it's the auto bailout, you know, the energy mandates, infrastructure stimulus, so-called, and look for a private alternative approach. I mean, to alternative stimulus to that. So basically, those are things like, you know, freezes on regulations, tax reforms, you know, so people keep more of what they earn.
Not proposing a bunch of new regulations that scares the bejeebers out of everybody who are in those industries. One of the things I want you to point out, remind the audience about, Wayne, before we go to a break, is the disproportionate cost per employee per year that little companies, small companies have compared to big companies. It's about double.
Oh, that's right. That's the problem. It's nearly double, you know, in the thousands of dollars.
Somewhere around $8,000 a year per employee for a small business.
That's right. For a small business.
Just to comply.
To comply with all of these regulations. And that's, you know, they're a smaller business. There are fewer products. There are fewer people to spread those costs out around, but they have to meet those fixed costs. That's one of the problems. Sometimes a big business won't mind a regulation if they know it's gonna crimp
it'll be diluted around their large organization. For us, it's like a concentrated pill, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it is, and so I think we need a freeze on regulations. We need a big, major effort at a regulatory reduction commission to go, you know, do it bipartisan. Do it like military base closure or something. But look at the trillions of dollars in regulatory costs that are out there, and look for what can be cut out to get
things. And these are all things
we've got to try deregulatory.
These are all things that are going to hamper the recovery. One of those regulations that's being proposed right now is the ergonomics regulation out of OSHA, Wayne. And I'm going to see what you got to say about that. This is clearly something that could affect your small business real soon if it passes. 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back with Wayne Cruz.
I can't imagine.
Little Dire Straits bringing us back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and that's Mark Knopfler on guitar, by the way. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Thank you for using it to your advantage. We built it just for you, made it available for free. Thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. We hope you'll say thanks to them as well. And, of course, be sure to check out my blog while you're there. Be sure to ask a question if you have one on AskJim.biz, which is my knowledge base right off the homepage. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out all the other things. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We've got something. Just search around there, look around, see what you can find, and we'll follow you home, by the way, also. If you got something you like that you want us to remind you about the next time something like that comes up, just tell us, and we'll follow you home and send it to you. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 10 years as a member. He's Vice President and Director of Technology Studies at Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, right, Wayne?
That's right. CEI.org. You can go there, check out our blog. We're focused on economic regulation, economic liberty. There are a lot of groups doing tax and budget and the war and social issues and things like that. We tend to focus on regulations, and, you know, this has certainly been a busy time for that.
I want to point out before we get there, Wayne, is regulatory oppression is not a Democrat or a Republican thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a political class thing. Wayne, I've been trying really hard to explain to the audience that my beef, for the most part, is not with one party or another party. It's with the political class, because they're the ones that pass these things. I mean, over the years, a lot of these regulations have been passed by both parties.
They've come out of both.
And so that's my point. This is now. I have to say that to be fair, to be candid, the Democrats seem to like regulations a little more than Republicans do. But regardless, they both are guilty of it. But this one thing that I mentioned before we went to the break that you were going to say is this ergonomics bill. Now, this ergonomics bill was almost not an ergonomics bill. The regulation was being proposed at the end of the Clinton administration that was going to go so far as to, if you had an employee who worked part-time at home, they took a laptop home and worked a day a week or whatever, this regulation would require you to go to their house and make sure that the environment that they were working in was ergonomically sound.
Unbelievable.
It didn't pass, but now where is it now?
Well, you could, that's unbelievable. You could almost imagine a cartoon of that, you know, with some... You can't work in that bathrobe, and get that cat out of here.
Yeah, or I can't.
Insane.
You know, I'm sorry, Sue, but you're gonna have to upgrade your sofa, because you can't sit there like that with a laptop. And then she's gonna look at you and say, "Well, boss, I'm gonna need a raise if I've got to have a new sofa."
That's right. Now the employer's going to be responsible for home furniture.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people who love that.
Folks, we're having some fun with this, but this is real. This was a real thing.
Well, this was put down with a resolution of disapproval. That one of the good things done was the Congressional Review Act passed. It gave Congress an opportunity to veto regulations. Mm-hmm. But the problem is it would have to actively disapprove regulations.
Right.
I think, and I was mentioning a while ago, deregulatory stimulus. I think one thing, Congress should have to approve, affirm major regulations like that that come out of any agency in the future. Now, that puts the onus back on Congress where it should be, because the Constitution gives legislative power.
So they can't hide behind the bureaucrats.
Exactly. Now they can hide. They can pass these vague laws that, you know, ends up in something like an ergonomics regulation, and then move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so this regulatory underbrush grows. So you need an affirmative approval of regulations like that. Because imagine how much harder it would be for cap and trade to ever hit small business, or this EPA's endangerment finding and the implications of that, or the health care bill, if Congress had to approve the major things that the agencies ultimately did as a result of this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd probably be a lot less likely to pass the legislation in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's a real restraint on government growth. And we got to do that, because the agency are pouring out now 4,000 rules a year. I was just in the new 10,000 commandments. The new Federal Register is at an all-time record high. I don't know if you realize that.
Mm.
Even at this economic downturn time, the Federal Register is 80,000 pages now.
Wow. Now tell the audience what that is, Federal Register.
The Federal Register is a horrible thing. No, it's the daily depository of all of the agency's rules and notices and proposed rulemakings.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got some presidential documents.
80,000 pages.
Things. But that's where all the regulations first appear, in the Federal Register. And the one that came, and the Federal Register of 2008 is the largest ever. I haven't compiled the numbers yet to get kind of a projection of what 2009 is going to be like. But yeah, I don't think it could be good, because a lot of new spending initiatives also require regulations as well. You know, any new spending will require government to do something to implement that, and especially if it's spending on what ought to be private sector.
I like your idea of the government, of the Congress having to affirm regulations. What do we? You know, we need to be able to get that. We need to figure out how to get that done. I don't know if. In what world, what dimension that would take place.
Well,
but we sure do need to.
The idea. Yeah.
CEI.org, right, Wayne?
That's it, CEI.org.
Will you come back another day?
Anytime.
We'd love to have you back. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, longtime member of our Brain Trust. He'll be back, I promise. I will be too after these messages. 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Chicago to take us out.
Walking down the street one day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.